This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Meet and Three is back. We're kicking off our fourth season and celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary with a very special episode about our home, Brooklyn.
Roberta's was such an interesting place with such a strong gravitational pull. It attracted all these different groups.
The neighborhood has changed a lot over the past decade, from its culinary renaissance to the complicated implications of gentrification.
I would say the majority of the people who are members of our co-op definitely have a certain purchasing power, are mostly white, and we are trying to change that.
We're taking you on a journey that spans the birthplace of food radio to buzzy neighborhood pollinators to the transformative health journey of our borough president.
That was my moment of, you know, wow, someone has thrown me a life raft and I'm going to take it.
Subscribe to Meet and Three. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I am not your host, Kat Johnson. Kat's not here today. I'm your other host, Katie Mosman-Wadler. I'm the executive director of Heritage Radio Network. I am joined by a full studio of amazing people. To my right, Hannah Forden, program manager of HRN. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, what a glorious Thursday we're having.
It's just so beautiful.
It's like a breath of fresh air. I feel like I can finally believe that summer's coming.
It's true. I think
we made it.
Is it here?
I think it might be here.
Is it here?
I think it is. It like broke 70.
It's been raining so much.
Yeah.
It's been rough.
It's been a sad, damp spring. And we are charging full force.
We have been sad and damp, but now we're happy. Its sun is shining. We're going up to the roof after this.
Can't wait.
What could be better?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Also in the booth, we have the lovely Amanda Wang as our engineer.
Happy Thursday.
I also have some very special family members here today. Sometimes they're tuning in from Texas and texting me in the middle of the show, but today they're here themselves live. We have Carrie Nichols Williams. Hi, sister.
Thank you so much for having us, and it is a perfect New York day today.
It indeed is. You guys brought the best weather with you from Dallas. Thank you.
So happy to do that.
And also with Carrie, Scott Simonson. Welcome, Scott.
Oh, it's so nice to be here.
You are the probably most seasoned radio personality in the room, so we'll have you talk a little bit more about that later in the show, but it's a delight to have you here on our airwaves. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And our special guest today is Bobian Dempsey, who owns Dua Cafe in the East Village, which serves Albanian cuisine. It's one of my new favorite spots and conveniently is right by my house. We'll talk more about that. I love it so much. Welcome, Bobian, to the show.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi.
Beautiful, yeah.
It's just such a good day to come to Brooklyn, yeah. Especially for us East Villagers,
yeah.
To go underground and you don't know what you're going to find when you pop back up, but it's a beautiful day in Bushwick.
You find pizza.
Pizza. So much pizza. Did you know that we have pizza in New York?
Have you heard?
We plan on eating all the pizza in New York.
We have some pizzas here, but some of the best pizza is, in fact, at Roberta's. We're very spoiled here. We
very
eat it
spoiled.
From time to time.
And I will never get sick of it, which seems impossible, but
it's not a
always
thing.
Excited.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
You can't ever get sick of pizza.
It's true. Hannah, do we have any announcements this week?
We really do. We have a really fun event coming up Monday, June 3rd, which all of you should go and buy your tickets for right now because it's going to be amazing and we have some limited seating. So if you've ever wanted to venture into the food world, whether it's opening a restaurant, launching your own brand, maybe going into food media, we have set up a line of experts on those subjects who will be kind of taking us through the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the failures, and some very comedic stories, I'm sure, from the industry. So we'll be seeing Zara Tangora and Bretton Scott, the hosts of Life's a Banquet here on HRN, Dana Cowan of Speaking Broadly, Eli Sussman, host of The Line, and his brother Max will be joining us, and Allison Kane, who is the host of In the Sauce, will be talking to Jenny Britton Bauer of Jenny's Ice Cream, which is some of the best ice cream in the world. And the event is going to be at Haven's Kitchen, which is a beautiful venue in Chelsea. So we hope to see you there. You can check out tickets on Eventbrite. You can check out our socials. It's going to be inspirational, entertaining.
There will definitely be rosé cider from Wolfer.
There will.
There will also be smoked salmon from Paris Gourmet. There may or may not be musical numbers, but why would I say that if that wasn't going to be a thing?
I just don't know, because panel discussions don't usually have musical numbers, but I have a feeling this might be a little different.
I think it's, I have an inkling.
Yeah.
There will be singing.
A twinkling.
A twinkling. It's going to be fantastic.
So don't miss out.
Please come.
Please come. It's
going to
be
see you there.
Very fun. And then another exciting thing that's coming up this summer is our annual summer fun drive.
This is the part where we ask you for money.
Yes. So get ready for it, because not only will we be asking you for money, but we will also have a whole lineup of amazing new presents for you if you become a member of HRN. So just want to tease that a little bit. You'll be seeing them very soon on our website, on our social media, and you're going to want to wear this swag to rep your very favorite food radio network, because we're looking cooler than ever.
Yeah. We ran into Falco the other night, who designed our swag, and we've got a really, really cool inspirational spinoff from the Illuminati pizza eye that you might be familiar with from the paw holders. Thank you, previous members. The Illuminati eye is going to make another appearance, so stay tuned.
Yes, it's the 10th anniversary edition of the Illuminati Eye Pizza, and you're not going to want to miss out. So stay tuned and get excited to support HRN, because we need it. There's no HRN without all of our listeners.
Truth.
Truth.
Okay, we've got a couple of headlines, and then we're going to jump into our interview.
So we have some recommended listening if you want to hear more about the East Village, which is a constantly changing culinary scene here in New York, and it is home to our guest restaurant, Dua Cafe, and to our executive director, Katie Mosman-Wadler. So to learn more about the history of Japantown in the East Village, listen to episode 14 of Japan Eats. Host Akiko Katayama welcomes Shuho Yagi, who is the owner of TIC Group, to the studio for a talk about his life and times building a successful business, helping to define Japanese cuisine in New York City, plus establishing Japantown right here in the East Village.
You can also listen to a special episode of The Speakeasy by former but still works in the East Villager, Souther Teague, host of The Speakeasy and owner of Amoria Margo. He also works with Blue Quarter and the new bar that just opened above Mother of Pearl that used to be Cienfuegos. If you want to get some vegan barbecue, go check it out. Anyway, very, very amazing bartender. This one was recorded on site at Blue Quarter, and that is absolutely one of our favorite bars in the East Village. Pro tip, if you like tea, all of the cocktails are tea-based, and they're amazing, and they're also, like, highly potent, so don't let the tea make you think it's going to be, like, a mellow drink. They're delicious. So this is episode 313. Souther and Damon are joined by Jeff Bell and A.K. Hada of the legendary PDT, Please Don't Tell. You'll hear all about hot dogs, because PDT is behind Criff Dogs on St. Mark's Place, and clandestine entrances, also last-minute flights to Hong Kong and American brandy, but please don't tell.
And last but not least, check out Eli Sussman's interview with Chef Nick Kim of Shuko on episode 80 of The Line. They discuss omakase and kaiseki menus. Shuko has received 3 stars and was a critic's pick from Pete Wells in the New York Times. So check that out if you want to just learn about only a few of the places to eat and drink in the East Village.
There are a lot
of
places.
So many. It's overwhelming to pick.
It's pretty crazy. So you may have heard me talking when I talk about my neighborhood a lot on the show. It's been pretty wild on 14th Street the last year, really. If you've been out there, you know there's a lot of like crazy construction for the L train going in. They tore down a whole bunch of the old tenement buildings. They put in a gigantic Target and some luxury apartment buildings. It's been a time of like pretty tough transition for a lot of the businesses that have been part of the neighborhood, but also a few really pleasant surprises in the new additions category of small locally owned businesses, which is why I'm so excited to have Bobby on here from Dua Cafe. Hey. Can you tell us about just a little bit about the cafe in general?
So Dua Cafe, it's means love in Albanian, and it's I think it's the first Albanian restaurant in Manhattan. I mean, they're Albanians, they own Italian places or Greek places or any other things. But I think we are the first one, and it's a small, cozy, like very typical and very traditional food. So basically, it's like a Mediterranean The ingredients are basically garlic, herbs, and just seafood and dough and meat all together.
Yeah, it's really healthy food.
It's very healthy.
Yeah, yeah. It's so delicious.
Lots of vegetables too, and yeah.
I think I can confidently say it was the first Albanian restaurant that I've ever been to. And some of the food is kind of familiar. Some of it is new, but it's all like ingredients that are familiar and presentations that you've maybe seen before, but it all comes together in this really beautiful way. How many seats are in the restaurant?
They're about like 20, 22.
Oh, yeah. That's quite a lot. Yeah. And you have the potential to expand a little bit onto the sidewalk now.
Right, a little bit, like four small tables. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do, to bring, the grandma's food or mom's food into, because, it's the first Albanian. And then, it's good. I don't know, people like it, seems to, yeah.
I could say I went in there not knowing what to expect. Yes. At all. It was a really, really rainy night. Chris and I were looking for some place close to eat. And I was like, okay, well, this place has been open. I don't know for how long, and we'll try it. And we were just so stunned and happy when we found out what was actually happening behind those doors. It's kind of a dark entryway. Yes. It's a little mysterious when you walk in. And we were just delighted. So how long have you been open in that location?
We've been open for like 3 months now. So it's fairly new. It's brand new. And yeah, that's it.
How's the reception been so
far? It's beautiful. Sometimes we have like 90% American, 10% Albanians. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have like 90% Albanians, 10% Americans. So it's like mixed it up, Mm-hmm. From both sides, we have nice reviews and all these kind of people like it. So we're happy. I mean,
is there a lot of unity in the Albanian community in New York City? Or how do the Albanians know that you're there?
Believe it or not, but through the Facebook or like Instagram mostly. Mm-hmm. And then I was lucky enough to some Albanian celebrities walked in. Mm. And so they made it happen, like a famous photographers or celebrities like models or actors, they're making here. Some of them are singers, and it went like that, it went like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do any advertisers or I was trying to do, the Style Town. Mm-hmm.
That's where I live.
Right. So somebody came and showed me the newspaper. And so they say, would you like to advertise in here? And I said, maybe, But then this thing happened and I completely forgot, because it blew.
Well, they do a lot of newsletters. Mm-hmm. You should get in there. But also, I kind of don't want anybody to know because I want to have it all to myself. But I guess by inviting you here, I've kind of blown it a little bit.
Yeah, the secret is officially out.
Yeah. So our street... There's this Target, which I feel like we can't not talk about the Target. It is absolutely massive. It has Target. It has everything. It's not a full size Target, but it has the groceries. It has the fresh produce. Yeah. It has meat, which I thought was like very weird. It's across the street from Associated Supermarket. But it has quite a lot of groceries. It has clothes. It has a whole home section. It's got like the whole pharmacy, personal care, furniture, like sports stuff. It really has a lot. So parts of the neighborhood have really embraced it and said like it's brought in all these things that we didn't have access to. It's so convenient. And then other parts, and I think a lot of us feel all of these things at once where it's like, what's this going to do to the bodegas? The bodega that I used to go to all the time is already out of business. Rents in the neighborhood are very expensive. What is this going to mean? And so kind of how does it feel to be part of this block that's changing to be an independent business? And you've seen, there's a new cafe down the street. There's kind of a mix of now like big chains moving in and small independent businesses. And how is it for you as a new business owner kind of fitting into that environment?
I mean, it's tough. I saw the other, do you remember the rotisserie chicken next mm-hmm. door to us? Mm-hmm. They closed after like 2 months.
Yeah, they were only open for a second.
Yeah, and I felt so sorry. You're right. Everything is there. Like Target, it's like a supermarket now. Mm-hmm. So I guess, when you open a business, I think here how it works, what I've seen, it's they give you an opportunity. Like everybody comes to try it out, even though some of them might know, some of them might not. But then they walk by like you did. And then, so our goal is now to keep it, that way. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the key to survive, just keep it authentic and a great service or with a smile and, just be yourself, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The rent and all this, yeah, it's expensive, but if people come in and then maybe we try to survive, I don't know.
Well, the foot traffic in that area is singular, I think, that like there's so many people always wandering around who are coming from bars or coming from work, and you probably get a lot of walk-ins, which sets
you
the
get some
apart.
You don't, because in the morning they just go from A to B, you know, everybody's running and then afternoon, right, some of them they stop because they have more time, you know, they're going home, so yeah, we get both.
I think that it's gonna be interesting because right now 14th Street still has these huge barricades because they're digging up the like the whole subway tube system. They're putting in they're building a whole new entrance to the subway on Avenue B, and that's gonna be, I think, like produce a lot more traffic. And they're building some kind of power station. So right now it's just like these huge walls on either side of the street. And I think as those start to come down, like your block Beaubien now looks so much more beautiful than it did a couple months ago.
Yeah.
It's just cleaning up. So I think once that comes down, it's gonna really help some of the businesses in the neighborhood. But I mean, it's just amazing to see like how much they can tear up for how long. And this is like without the subway even shutting down. Like we thought that there was going to be nothing. But like City Bike is gone from that street. All of the businesses have signs. You know, like the Tiki Bar Auto Shrunken Head is there. And because the city has built these huge walls and you can't see what's across the street, they have to put signs on the barricades so that when you walk by, it says like, hey, over there, here's what you could find, to try to help the businesses get some of that foot traffic back. It's just really funny to see like Auto Shrunken Head having like a sign on a city fence. Yeah. But it's kind of coming together, I think. Well, Beaubien, I'd like to know more about your sort of transition to becoming a restaurant owner. Did you always know that you wanted to work in food? And is this something that you knew, like, when you were a kid, this is what you were going to go on to do? Or is it something that's more recent?
Not at all. I mean, I come from a country where it was communism. It was really bad, you know. So dreaming to even come here was, like, impossible. And then in 1990, you know, everything went out, like the Berlin Wall and all that. So we came out finally. No, the idea, I mean, I liked it because, you know, my grandmother always cooked for us, you know, and that's why I get all these dishes from her. But I never, I mean, I always wanted to, but it was like an impossible dream, you know, because very difficult.
What was food like growing up as a kid in Albania?
It was necessity first, because it was very poor in other times, so you have to be more my grandma used to be like creative, you know, with whatever we had, so I have to pull it up. But it was fun. It was also put all together, you know, in the same table, so it was great. And when I moved here, I worked at as a bartender in the beginning. I mean, busboy and then bartender. And yeah, and then it grew up, you know, this I mean, I became more professional in that sense. And then it grew on me. It's like, I really want to open something, you know, where I come from, because there's nothing in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, learning after 17 years, and then there you go.
Yeah. So you're really inspired now by your grandmother's cooking.
Totally. Grandmother and my mother, but mostly grandma.
Right now, could you tell me what your dream menu would be if your mom and grandma were to cook you a meal? What would be the dishes that you would hope that they would make for you if they made you a feast?
Well, we had this, you know, every Sundays, for example, we had burek. You know the dough? Always, every Sunday, it was that. Or there is another dish, it's called pasticcia. You know, it's like a messy pasta with like homemade feta cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, we had fish or like seafood. And also always salads, you know, like a tomato, because it was seasonal then. We didn't have like tomatoes, for example, in the winter. So everything had to be seasonal. So these are the favorite dishes that I grew up with, you know, like, for example, burek was always there, like every Sunday. And then fish and meat. So kind of roasted, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is it for you now sourcing ingredients for Dua Cafe? Is it easy for you to find the quality that you want and the ingredients that you want for the restaurant in being in New York City?
Now, yes, because we have the opportunity now, that the important things from Albania, which wasn't possible before. And it's kind of easy in that way, because, you know, the cheese and olive oil and all these, the herbs and all these, like the jams and stuff, really they're imported from there. And all very good qualities, like organic stuff, you know. So it's easy now, but then, no, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Can you talk about the olive oil that you use?
Olive oil is so good. It's extra virgin olive oil. It's from the south of Albania. It's called Borshi's by Riviera, Albania Riviera, which is beautiful. It's unspoiled too. And it's very high quality. It's very high quality. And it's delicious. I don't know. I really love it.
Yeah. Carrie and Scott, is this making you hungry?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to an Albanian restaurant. So I'm very curious about the menu.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear about what's on your restaurant menu. I'm already salivating.
Please stop by anytime. They're good. So we have a small menu. It's like traditional, but we have some casseroles also we do. There is, my favorite dish also is like a top course is called. It's like a yogurt casserole with pieces of lamb. I don't know if you've tried
that.
We had that.
The first night we came in, it was like a rainy night. Really and we good. Had that. And it comes out bubbling in a clay dish.
This is very typical, you know, like in the air, it's only us who makes it. And it's very, it's healthy, but it's also really delicious, you know. So make from nothing, make something, because it was yogurt, like homemade yogurt. And they came up with this idea, but it's a very old dish. So this is one of my favorites.
What's the role of yogurt in Albanian cuisine?
It's a main, you know, like yogurt and cheese, like, you know, the white cheese, like feta cheese, or they call it here. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, the main ingredient, kind of, you know, and then other cheeses too. There's also another one is dry, but it's aged, so you had to wait for that, you know. Meanwhile, you can do ricotta or feta cheese right away, like instant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I would say it was a big role, you know, like, I don't know how to explain.
But it's important. And when a lot of the dishes at your restaurant come with a small cup of yogurt on
burek,
the side.
For example, you serve a little yogurt on the side, so it gives you more like flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other yogurt dish that you do. And then there is another flea, you know, with like crepe-like. Also, some use it with yogurt again. I use it with organic honey, and it's really, really good.
Mm. I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
We went this morning to David's Bagels, which is my favorite bagel shop on First Avenue. We ran into another neighborhood friend, Joaquin, from Pouring Ribbons. It's awesome to kind of walk around the East Village. We all start work at like various weird times and kind of run into each other in the area. Do you have some other favorite places to eat or drink kind of in the neighborhood if you want to slip out, or are you like in the restaurant all the time?
Oh my God, I'm in the restaurant all the time. Like I really have no time to enjoy. It's like it's open 7 days, I'm 8 days there.
You're open 7 days.
7 days a week, yeah.
That's crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
I think people think like, oh, only a restaurant, it's so glamorous. But you have to kind of do everything, right?
You have to, because it's your baby, it's the first thing, you know. So you have to really make sure everything goes fine. I guess, you know, the first year is going to be like that. And maybe I can take some time off afterwards if we survive the first year. So you got to, build a brand, or like people are happy and then they know. And then little by little, you know, so I can take a day off or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. How's the brand building for you? Like, do you enjoy doing the social media? Do you have somebody helping you with that stuff?
I do everything by myself, unfortunately.
Are you serious?
I don't have anything yet. Because you don't trust the other people. You know,
right,
whatever,
of course.
Whatever the idea you have to go for it. And then,
wow.
That is it.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what you're building. And you just made me so hungry again. We are, you know, planning a weekend, having guests in town from out of town. You guys this morning had bagels and then went to the 9/11 memorial, right? How? I'd like to get your impressions. How was that this morning?
I mean, it was it was impressive. I mean, the bagels, obviously, starting off the day, I've heard about, you know, how good this place was from you when you've been in town, and from Carrie, and so everything was amazing.
These bagels are very important.
The best ever, what I was told.
What are the bagels like in Texas?
I'm not a foodie. They're a bagel. So, I mean,
are they? Yeah. Is this like a Thomas's frozen bagel?
Yeah, it's like a.
Maybe the water's a little different. And it's like probably a bread. Imported. So
maybe if you're lucky, you can get some bagels from New York there.
But are correct. The big sizes? Or?
They're just heavy and dry. They're not chewy on. They're like they're you know crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside. That's not happening where we are.
Yeah, you know, it's they say it's the water, which we've disproven. If you listen to our very, very nerdy bread show, Modernist Breadcrumbs, we have disproven the water. However, it is something different to have a bagel here than to have a bagel in other parts of the country.
I mean, I don't eat a lot of bagels, and today was amazing. So it was wonderful.
And then how was the museum?
It was incredible. It's breathtaking. You know, from years ago when it happened, and obviously in 2001 to now, seeing all that and having it right in front of your face again, and the enormity of both of the tributes. I mean, it was impressive and breathtaking.
Yeah, I think it's grounding for us. We kind of live here all the time, and it crosses your mind from day to day. But it's still every time I like walk by the World Trade Center in that part of town, it's like a different experience. So. Good way to start your trip.
It's so beautiful there. It's very haunting and moving, and it makes you reflect and be very loving of life, grateful for what you have, and it's just very beautiful at the same time. It's a mixture of emotions. Very happy to be there.
Yeah. Well, we're picking up the pace on your trip after this, going to a restaurant that Carrie has been very excited about. Where are we going, Carrie?
I may cry just talking about it. I love Hanoi House.
Yep.
It is just one of my favorite places. But your restaurant could be a strong favorite too. It sounds incredible. I can't wait to go. Yeah.
We got
to
get it on the list.
Take me there because I'll be thinking about it for the whole weekend.
we do love Hanoi House. We have a lot of eating to do this weekend. But also coming up on Saturday, guys, it's the dance parade. New York City Dance Parade is this Saturday.
Speaking of crying. Katie and I did some serious crying in the rain last year, so no one could tell.
Yeah, it was like, no, it's just raining on my face.
It's just a sad rain.
Inside my glasses. I had never seen the dance parade before. If you're not familiar, you should look it up. Just Google NYC Dance Parade. There are thousands of dancers. I looked up the number and promptly forgot it, but there are 140 different dance groups, each with their own music, each with their own outfits and choreography. They start north of Union Square around 21st Street. They come down and then they head over to Tompkins Square Park, where there's like a big festival in the park at the end. I started having this thing happen to me maybe when I was like 26 or 27, where all of a sudden, anytime I saw a parade, I would burst into tears. I have no explanation for why this happens to me. I thought it was really weird. I like comic book, like tears like shoot out vertically from my face, and I can't explain it. But then, and dancing does the same thing. And so then it was the dancing compounded with the parade, and it was pouring rain and everybody was having an amazing time. And I was like kind of rushing around doing my New York day. And I was like, I don't need anything. What is this loud racket? And then I saw it and I just burst into tears. And then I saw Hannah and Chris. And similarly, they were also in tears.
Uh-huh. And I have to say, I think, because I'm usually not a parade weeper. You and my partner, Chris, shared that if he sees a marathon or a parade.
Marathons, too. They're terrible. Marathon,
it's so funny. But for me, I think, like, being a New Yorker, you take for granted, like, all of the intercultural exchanges that happen and how rare and special they are, and that doesn't happen in every city. That doesn't happen in every part of the world. And the dance parade really highlighted that, because it was people from all over the world who were bringing a tradition from their home and sharing it really, really joyfully and enthusiastically. And like, you know, people using their bodies in that way to just be like, I want to show you something that I love. It's incredible. So here's what everyone has to do this weekend is you go to the dance parade. It's not going to rain. It's going to be lovely. Then you go to do a cafe because you're going to be a little hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's going to wrap up in the East Village.
You do get a little peckish watching other people exercise all around you. Yeah, it makes me hungry every time.
It's almost like working out yourself.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah. If I knew what that was like. Yeah, so it's going to be everything happening in the East Village this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's also the first weekend of the Stuytown Green Market, if that means anything to anyone. And also another weird New York experience you can have in Stuytown on the 18th is that, so Stuytown has 10,000 apartments in it. This is very hard for me to grasp coming from a town of about 2,000 people.
That's a lot.
But there are 10,000 apartments. Once a year, they do an epic flea market where everybody takes all their crap out of their apartment and tries to sell it on the sidewalk where we have all come out together. It is a sight to see. So if you're interested, you should make your way to Stuytown this Saturday. Come to Stuytown, like come at 11, look at the flea market for a little bit, wander over towards Union Square or Tompkins Square Park, get a good spot, watch the parade, cry a little or not. Go get a cocktail. Go to Dua Cafe. There you go. You're welcome.
Perfect Saturday.
Planned your weekend for you.
Done and done.
So easy. It's going to be great.
Is the parade going to go by the pickle guy?
No, but you could, if you're very ambitious, like my sister Carrie, we could go down to, God, they're on Delancey, right? We go down to Delancey. We could go to Donut Plant and then the pickle guys. And load up on donuts and pickles. And Scott's shaking his head.
Sugar and vinegar. I'm in.
Somebody disapproves. And then we'll do our whole agenda. It's going to be great. We need to take a very short break. And when we come back, we're going to chat a little more. And then we're going to subject you to our very, very difficult game of trivia.
Dun, dun, dun.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Korsha Wilson, and I'm the host of A Hungry Society here on HRN. A Hungry Society focuses on highlighting dope people doing amazing work in food, and we talk about how we can make the culinary world a more diverse and inclusive space. You can join the conversation by checking out A Hungry Society wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
And we are back. Welcome back to HRN Happy Hour. We are here with a very special guest, Bobian Dempsey from Dua Cafe in the East Village. And also my family, Carrie Nichols-Williams and Scott Simonson. And Scott, you're a radio guy. I want you to give a plug for your radio show in Dallas. Is it available on the internet?
I believe so. 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Texas. You know, I get on once a month or once a week, I guess, and we talk golf. I am a director of golf in Dallas.
I was going to say, what qualifies you to talk about golf?
We don't talk about a lot of food. You know, we're definitely just got off last Sunday talking about what's going on in Bethpage this week. And so I'm sure I'll be on. I probably will have to call in from your apartment on Sunday morning and discuss what happened. So, yes, 105.3 The Fan. You can get it on the radio app. And love to have you all listen.
So can we call in?
No.
Can I ask you my golf questions?
Absolutely.
Like, what is golf?
Okay, I have a question for you, because I'm slowly learning about sports through our beloved team member, Kat Johnson, who is the most enthusiastic sports fan in our office.
Yes, she's HRN sports consultant and communications director,
so she's slowly educating me. Mm-hmm. But, so I, you know, the football has tailgating and, you know, there's a sort of a food tradition that surrounds football between either, like, you know, Super Bowl watching parties or tailgating, etc. So is there, what are, like, typical golf associated bites?
Good question, Hannah.
Golf associated bites. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything salty after you're done. I mean, you're going to drink a lot of beer when you get done playing golf.
Of course.
Most golfers do spend a lot of time on the golf course drinking a lot of beer. So,
as somebody who's the manager of a golf course, how does that work out for you?
It works out pretty good for the food and beverage department. I want them off the golf course when they're not drinking. And so, you know, there's a lot of chips and salsa. There's a lot of the easy bites after play. It's all relative to what each course wants to kind of showcase. We do a lot more of the appetizer type stuff that's easy to grab and go when they're done. Mm. I mean, after a long day of golf, you're out there for 4.5 hours.
What about for golf spectators?
Golf spectators.
Just sunblock.
You know, talking about, I mean, a few weeks ago, obviously, but a month ago now, the Masters was on and they had, you know, pimento and cheese sandwiches. They went back to their roots of, they still sell it for $2.50. They sell a draft beer for $4. Not near the pricing that you see here or at our own facility. I mean, you know, in New York City, I'm sure the beer is a little bit more. And at our facility, the beer is a little bit more and the sandwiches cost a little bit more. So they still hold true to what they did way back when they started the Masters. And that's, you know, cheap sandwiches, affordable for everyone. And so for the spectators, it's a long day of golf if you're going to watch golf and try to eat all day. I try not to eat for 4 hours while I'm playing golf or watching golf. But again, easy bites, a lot of chips and salsa, a lot of, we get a lot of sushi, grab and go type stuff. So yeah, a variety of food.
That sounds pretty good. I'm like, picnic. Let's go on a picnic.
I mean, if Carrie and I are watching golf, I let her pick the menu.
That's very smart.
I just eat.
Okay, Carrie, what's your golf menu?
My golf menu. You know, I mean, this might sound a little southern, but I'm still a fan of the hot dog.
I mean, you are from Texas.
We love hot dogs here. That's not southern. Yeah, we're on the same team.
You talk about grab and go, and it really is grab and go. You're playing the front nine, you're having a beer, and then taking the turn, and you're definitely working up an appetite. And, you know, what can you, you know, put in the golf cart and eat while you're playing? And I have actually a funny story. We had pizza at the turn once, and one of my friends asked the gentleman who's making the pizza if he could put pickled jalapenos on the pizza. And he didn't quite hear her right, and he sliced up pickles and put it on the pizza. No. But you're playing, because golf is such a mental game, so you're mentally tired more than physically tired. And even pickles on the pizza was still pretty good.
I think that might be golf brain. I don't know. I mean, you are kind of a pickle freak, but...
I am a pickle freak.
It's true. Weird. It's true. I'm a pickle freak, too. I'm right there with you. Okay, well, we're almost to trivia. We need a little moment to perk up. Bobian, last question for you. Can you talk about your coffee program at Duo Cafe? Because you have some amazing contraptions in there for your coffee service, and I would like to know more about it.
Yeah, we serve coffee, like different types of coffee. It's we have Albanian coffee, which is like...
This is not coffee grown in Albania,
no,
just to be clear.
Yeah, there's no coffee grown in Albania. But it's like a Turkish style, kind of, but it's imported from there. So that's why we call it Albanian coffee, because it's made there, I mean, packed there. Mm-hmm. Also, we do have locally brewed, like, espresso. I mean, the coffee is from upstate New York. It's Italian-owned, but it's local. You know, so now it's the big trend, but it's really, really good coffee. And then we serve that in a kind of those teapots, you know, and it makes it more interesting. It's very good, though.
Mm-hmm. It's like that steampunk kind of percolator thing that has, like, multiple chambers that kind of goes in.
That is the vacuum coffee. It's 18th, 19th centuries.
Wow.
It's
so
really
cool.
Good, yeah. So it's like a vacuum siphon coffee, and then it goes like this. So it has two sides, right? One is the tank who holds the water. The other side is the glass that you add the coffee, and then you heat it up the tank, so it goes, it's all sealed, so it heats up the water, and then it goes through the siphon, picks up the coffee, and then goes back. So back and forth does the shift for you. And it's also with its own alcohol or gas. I mean, it's how can I explain? Yeah,
the fuel, like the fuel. The heat. You light a fire under it.
The alcohol, yeah. Yeah. You
like
you
a sterno butane.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Is Albanian coffee like Turkish coffee, and then it has spices?
Yeah.
You know, it's like
how it works is like
cardamom.
Yeah. Do you know the Turkish coffee kind of?
Yeah, yeah. I've had Turkish coffee before. It's similar.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Seasoning.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, it's very good. Yummy. And then, if somebody knows, you know, how to read the cup, we can also do that.
Ooh, got some fortunes read.
Oh, do you know how to do that?
No.
Do you know anybody who does?
Sure.
Okay.
Just pretend.
We might be asking about that. Yeah.
This village is full also of...
Oh, God, there's so many. There's a brand new one right around the corner, actually, next to the barbershop, that fancy one on Avenue B. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw it this morning.
Yeah. It's. I think it just came in the last few days. It looks very fancy. They have a neon sign. It's like a very, like, it's like glass. Very chic. Very chic fortune teller. Okay, well, this is going to bring us to the part of our show where we do trivia. I feel like it's either going to be really, really hard or you're going to nail every question. So the walls at your place have lots of photographs of famous Albanian people. So we have a little bit of Albanian celebrity trivia today. We try to do a different theme every week. We're trying to make them sort of food-related where we can. So the others have not seen the questions. Everyone is on your team. You guys are all together. This is shouted-out trivia. You don't have to write down your answer or anything like that. So we're going to start off. Question one. Which Danish chef, who is a co-owner of Noma, has an Albanian father and grew up taking bus rides back and forth to visit Macedonia?
René Redzepi.
It's too easy.
That is the best restaurant in the world.
Noma, yes. Have you been?
Not yet, but 3 years in a row, best number one.
Yeah.
That'll be when you have your first day off.
Yeah.
In your cafe.
Exactly.
Hop on a plane.
Take a little jaunt to Copenhagen.
Yes, yes. First
thing.
It's
going to be great. Okay. Which longtime talk show and game show host's family lived in Italy but is of Albanian descent? If this is too hard, I have a hint. You know it.
Regis Philbin.
Too easy. Too easy. Do all Albanians know each other?
Yes.
Okay. Which Albanian performer made it the furthest in the Eurovision finals? The year was 2012. They made it to fifth place.
I don't know. It was Aurela Gacha, maybe? No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Eleni Furera is for Greece? No.
No.
Because last year we had three Albanians for different countries.
Whoa.
Last year it was for Italy, it was an Albanian guy. Ours, it was also for Cyprus or Greece, it was Eleni Furera is called.
I can tell you the song name because I think we might not have been fully up on the Albanians from other countries. Mm. The song was called, you're going to hurt in my pronunciation, Sus? S-U-U-S?
Oh, Rona Nishliu. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very good, yeah.
This is very impressive. Mm. We only have one more, but you've already won trivia. and actually, you might already have this one. Who is Albania's Eurovision 2019 entry?
Jonida Malici.
Yes. How did you know all of these?
Because we know each other. You know?
You guys are like this.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Bill. You have won our
trivia game.
I have
to say one thing because I forgot it. She's going to kill me. All this, who makes it happen is my wife. I said the grandma, you know, but she's behind it. And then, so we bring together, you know, because luckily she met her, you know, before she passed. So she's a great, great cook. So without her, this place wouldn't work too, you know, so.
How much of the cooking is your wife doing, too?
She's doing all the cooking. And we have, you know, helpers and stuff.
Yeah.
But so it's between me and her, right? But she's the main ingredient. She has it here. But it also says the B word. So B, I'm the main ingredient. You know? Yeah, it's funny. But.
What's her name?
Aida.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to meeting her.
Yes.
The food has been just so amazing.
Thank you so
much.
It's
very awesome of you to shout her out when she's the real force back there.
Thank you so much.
That's going to bring us to the end of HR and Happy Hour. It's been another wonderful Thursday. I want to say a huge thank you to our special guest, Bobiant MC.
Oh, thank you for having me for real.
Thanks such for coming
blessing.
Out to
thank
Bushwick.
You. Thank you.
We'll have you back anytime, and I will see you around the corner often.
All right.
Huge thank you to Scott and Carrie for joining us today.
We'll be seeing you this weekend.
You certainly
thank
will.
You. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda, making us all sound great. Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks, Katie. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, indeed. Let's go to the roof.
I'll see you there.
Okay. Enjoy the sun, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Don't
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the food world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.